Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We're getting you ready for pro football's postseason.
Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
The Fan.
Our number two, Danny and Dusty, thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.52, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, you party people. The Raiders have fired Antonio Pierce after one season, 4-13 this year. There are now six head coaching vacancies across the National Football League. I, thanks to our good friend Jimmy Shapiro from betonline.ag, have the odds for the next head coach of each of these jobs, with the exception of the Raiders. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you can get a little hope for your Raiders off of these lists of guys that are out here. Would you care to guess who the odds-on favorite is for the Chicago Bears' next head coaching job? 2-1 odds for this guy. 2-1.
2-1 for the Bears?
Yeah.
They're not in the Vrabel sweepstakes, so...
Mike Vrabel, 8-1.
Then the Ben Johnson stuff isn't really gaining much steam.
4-1.
Mike McCarthy. Is it McCarthy?
It is not Mike McCarthy. Oh. He's 33-1.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It is...
I was way off.
Cliff Kingsbury. 2-1 odds.
Where is that coming from?
Well, an S show in Chicago. I mean, like, have you seen some of the names that have popped up?
Oh, it's insane.
Like, David Shaw is in there. And
yeah.
David Shaw's working on...
As a consultant.
As a consultant for the Broncos. And he does have an NFL background. Actually started with the Raiders before going to the college ranks, where I think everybody knows him and knows his name. But... right now, Cliff Kingsbury, former offensive coordinator at USC with Caleb Williams, who has turned Jaden Daniels into not just a very good quarterback as a rookie. But here's the thing with Cliff Kingsbury. He is one of the best play callers in football at any level.
He's not a great head coach.
He is not a great head coach. His record at Texas Tech was not good. His record with the Arizona Cardinals was not good. He is not a great head coach. And you know what? That's okay.
He's a phenomenal... Like, what he does with quarterbacks and offenses is unreal.
But the dysfunction of the Chicago Bears has seemingly led to a lot of people cooling on going to Chicago. And you hear today what George McCaskey, the son of the... what's her name? Virginia McCaskey, who's now running the shots... and calling the shots for the Bears. This was his comment on whether alignment between the GM and head coach is important during the interview process.
Ooh.
I don't believe that that's a key factor. In what world of professional sports is your general manager and your head coach not being aligned a key factor. What? What are we talking about? So that's wild. And then Ryan Poles, do you see what Ryan Poles said? Like a reporter gave like a, you know, this was a year of disruption and stress in Caleb's rookie year. And he goes, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, you fired the offensive coordinator, then you fired the head coach, which meant he had another new offensive coordinator. I think that that's kind of what we're talking about here. And he's like, nah, I don't agree with that.
It doesn't make any sense.
So that might be why you're hearing guys like Ben Johnson cool on Chicago, right? So Cliff Kingsbury is the odds-on favorite, according to Bet Online, for the now, Bears' job.
Would that be one where perhaps you bring in a very experienced offensive coordinator slash associate, like head coach, to help kind of guide Kingsbury along the way?
You probably want to do that on the defensive side.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, sure.
Let Cliff call the offense and then have – but there's also the issue with that is every one of these coaches have an ego. And if there's a guy that can be seen as the guy that can replace you as soon as you're fired, it's always – a little iffy.
So Kingsbury's 2-1 odds. Ben Johnson behind him at 4-1. Then Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions. Brian Flores, Vikings defensive coordinator.
They can't go defensive minded coach. They
at
can't.
6-1. And then Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman, 7-1 odds. And then you get to Mike Vrabel and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens.
There's too many defensive minded coaches on that list. And I know it's the Bears, it's what they do, blah, 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 blah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that you haven't had an offensive minded coach ever.
Ooh. Pete Carroll, 33-1. John Gruden, 50-1. Steve Sarkisian, 50-1. Bill Belichick.
Yeah, did you see that getting like even the mildest traction last night?
No.
Yeah, they started. I started seeing it pop up in the sports talk shows that Sarkisian.
Sark. I thought you were talking about Bill Belichick.
No. Yeah, Sark to Chicago. Like if they win a title, and I'm like, oh, Sark. No.
No. Don't. There's other places that Sark is popping up for though.
Well, because I saw the.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah,
man.
With Belichick too, how his buyout is only $10 million, so it's like hey, NFL owner won't balk at that.
After March, it goes down even more.
Yeah, and you're the whole idea of like if you're a head coach somewhere, your agent's not doing his job if he's not putting your name out there.
All right, Jags next head coach. Ben Johnson not the odds-on favorite there either. He's +150.
He should be.
Joe Brady is a third at 5-1. Mike Vrabel fourth at 9-1. Cliff Kingsbury 10-1 is fifth best odds there. The leader in the clubhouse right now, according to betonline.ag, is Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator Liam Cohen, 1-3. He is -300 to be the Jags' next head coach.
It's a short trip, and probably, I would imagine, if it's that low, discussions have already been had.
Yep. Sark, 33-1 for that job.
I could see that being a landing spot for Sark.
Yep. Patriots next head coach. This one is like the big rumor that's out there because he changed his Twitter avatar to when he played for the Patriots.
Oh, it's Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel, -400, 1-4. The next closest is former Patriots defensive coordinator Brian Flores, who's now the DC with the Vikings at 4-1. Ben Johnson, 6-1 there. Cliff Kingsbury, 8-1. Aaron Glenn.
I'll say Aaron Glenn, right?
Yeah. Also former Patriot, 12-1.
That one seems surprising. Vrabel to me.
Bill Belichick 500-1.
We'll take your money.
Pete Carroll 100-1.
Vrabel is definitely the favorite. If I was going to go another way, I would have gone Aaron Glenn.
And now here is what I believe to be the dumpster fire of the head coaching cycle: the New York Jets right now.
Yeah, this is insane.
Would you like to take a guess? I mean, the top four.
Boy, are they names.
Good luck with this.
It's Rex Ryan's one, isn't he?
Rex Ryan is third.
Third? Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. Rex Ryan is third. The is top it all, four,
is,
I go.
Is it all retreads?
No.
The top four?
Well, no. The leaders right now, actually leaders, are Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach.
Oh, God.
At 9-4, +225.
Oof.
And Mike Vrabel. At +225, who after he interviewed, he changed his profile picture to him playing for the Patriots.
Yeah, that's.
Then Rex Ryan is +240. Then Ron Rivera, 6-1 odds.
Well, you know, we talked to Ron in DC at the Army Navy game pregame. And I kind of think they need that kind of coach to come in there and law and order that thing. It may not be received.
Well, Aaron Rodgers will not be your quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's a good fit. The New York media and Ron Rivera.
You're right on that. Do you understand what I'm saying, though?
I know. Like, I know what you're saying.
They need somebody to come down and set a culture, because, like, culturally, foundationally, like, it starts at the very top with Woody Johnson. It's just,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they allow too much.
I love this. Bill Belichick, they have odds on Bill Belichick for even the Patriots job with 500-1. He's not even listed for the Jets.
He beat them too badly for too long for him to accept
that
job. Well,
and he took the job and left that job within a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't... Sark does not pop up on the Jets.
That's not surprising. I don't think Sark would show up on any list that doesn't have a quarterback that's going to be there for at least 3 years.
Here's an interesting one. Pete Carroll does, 16-1. Pete Carroll, now, the law and order may be one way. Going Pete Carroll may be another.
That could be also... If you're talking about for 2-3 years being your bridge coach, there is no coach in the NFL with better vibes than Pete.
Yeah. And boy, he and Aaron Rodgers would be... conspiracy theories those two would talk about. Oh, boy.
It would either be the best pairing for Aaron and Pete ever, or the absolute worst. It is either oil and water... I mean, it's either oil and water, or it is just pure bliss.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of worked.
Yeah.
It would, you know what? Actually, sign me up for this.
Right?
Sign me up for this.
I mean, all that means is that Rex Ryan will be the coach of the Jets again. He did interview today. Rex Ryan did interview for the Jets job today. Remember, former head coach 2009 through 2014, Jets went to back-to-back AFC championship games in his first two seasons there in 2009 and 2010. Those were his only two seasons as a head coach, either in New York or Buffalo, where he was over 500. So he interviewed today, and then you also have got the Saints job is open. And I thought this one was interesting. That is a really tough job right now, right? They are already $66 million over the cap. They have very little wiggle room here to do anything moving forward. Where are they drafting it? New Orleans in the draft, they are picking 9th in the draft. Yeah. So you're in a tough spot in New Orleans. The odds-on favorite is Joe Brady at 1-3, -300 odds. And remember, Joe Brady, before he was the offensive coordinator at LSU... LSU and Ed Orgeron, they hired him based on the fact that they went to the Saints and they wanted to learn about RPOs. And they said, we got this guy. And he was just an analyst for the Saints. And he started talking about RPO game and he had cut-ups for him. And they were blown away to the point where they're like, you're our offensive coordinator. We're hiring you. And he only went on to call plays for the most prolific offense in college football history.
Is that good?
The 2019 LSU Tigers, which they were also pretty loaded.
Yeah, they had some good players in that team. I
don't know if you've ever heard of them. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. This guy's pretty good. Thaddeus Moss was tied in. They're all right. Yeah. They're okay. But Joe Brady is the odds-on favorite. And then here's where it goes to, okay, this is a really tough job. Kellen Moore, Aaron Glenn, Kellen Moore, by the way, offensive coordinator for the Eagles now. Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions. Matt Nagy, former Bears head coach, back with Andy Reid in Kansas City. And then Mike Kafka, former backup to the Stars. And Kafka is, I believe, a quarterback's coach. I don't know. Giants offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Giants.
Which?
Where Brian Daboll calls the plays. So Mike Kafka coming in there.
Yeah, it's...
That's good. Do any of those names that we've said, though, spark your interest for the Raiders job?
I don't want the Raiders to go defensive-minded.
All right.
Like, but if they,
Brian Flores seems like he would, but he if
they,
be a decent
but if
guy.
They did, it would be Aaron Glenn.
Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
You'd want Aaron Glenn?
Yeah. Like, we've talked about this, how, for me, what I want to see from I just don't think he would come to the Raiders. Although, with Brady.
Tom Brady.
Maybe that is a connection that's there, but.
Tom Brady.
I wouldn't be against Vrabel. But I want somebody. The thing I love about Aaron Glenn is his aggression. If you're going to have a defense and you're like in the NFL, stylistically, I like a coordinator that just likes to get after it. Like likes to be disruptive, like to send exotic blitzes. Just, you know, that's how I want to see a team built. So if they were going to go down that path, I think that's kind of what I like. But Vrabel's also a guy that prioritized, complimentary football, line play. I mean, those Tennessee teams, when they were good, you know, even when they didn't have a quarterback, they were functional everywhere else.
Run the football, throw to Brock Bowers.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's all you have on offense right now.
That's literally all they have on offense.
That's really all they have. All right.
I mean, the interesting one that is circulating right now is the picture of Tom Brady doing his TB12 stuff with Dion and Shador.
Oh, great. That should make you feel confident. How happy are you about that?
And it's
Coach
like,
Brian.
Look, the likelihood of this happening is not zero. Like, no. It's not even close to that. It's probably like 25%.
Yeah, I can't wait until the odds come out on this one.
The more I think about it.
Coach Brian, let's go. Look,
Adam Schefter just tweeted out that Brady's going to be a part of this and basically hinted at he's the reason why AP is gone.
Well, you can thank Tom Brady for that. Say something nice about Tom Brady. You wanted Antonio Pierce gone.
Thank you, Tom Brady.
Yes. See, I told you he's an angel.
God, I hate this man. I'll still hold it against him.
I like this text. Should the Saints hire a coach with the plan of drafting Arch Manning to have Arch Manning 2.0?
What is old is new again? Well, the Jets are talking about bringing back Rex Ryan, so why not?
All right.
Dysfunction breeds dysfunction.
This is what you need to do then.
That in 40 years, they'll win a Super Bowl again.
This is what you need. David Cutcliffe. He was Peyton's offensive coordinator. He was Eli's head coach. Bring Cuddy to the New Orleans Saints. That's how you get Arch. And that Manning family knows how to manipulate their way to get their kids to where they want to be.
It's all about the long con.
All right. Let's get to it. The NFL playoffs get underway on Saturday with the Chargers and the Texans. Which team is facing the most pressure entering the playoffs this year? 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder, True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder, True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
NFL playoffs get underway with the Houston Texans taking on the Chargers Saturday down in Houston. Have you seen the rundown of the Houston Texans Saturday Wild Card games?
I'm assuming it's every Wild Card game they've ever been in.
I was going to say, you mean all of them?
The Saturday 1:30 kick, which is 1:30 local time here on the West Coast, right? That's that game that everybody's like, oh my gosh, this has got to be the worst game of the playoffs in the wild card round. The Houston Texans have played that Saturday game in 2011, 12, 15, 16, 18, 19, 23, and 24.
It's so weird because those teams have been good, and Houston's like the fifth biggest market in the country. Like, why do they get shoehorned in that? I don't understand it.
Well, it's because it's like, are they always the team, though, that everybody's like, yeah, they're not going to win a Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, is it also maybe just the age of the franchise, perhaps? Because yeah, they're still such a young franchise. I mean,
they are
young,
and they aren't.
As an organization, not as in terms of the players.
No. I mean,
by the way, would you guys like to know the years that the Houston Texans have made the playoffs?
Yeah.
In their franchise's history?
Is it every one of those years?
11, 12, 15, 16, 18, 19, 23, 24.
Like, they've got a very good young coach. They've got a very good young quarterback. They've got, like, high-profile players. They're in the fifth biggest market. Like, all of these things that, like, you would think that would lift them up a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, no. No.
You know?
I'm excited to see that game, though. I think the Chargers and the Texans can be a fun game, though. Two flawed teams that nobody believes will win a Super Bowl this year. But that could be a fun game. And that's why you put a Saturday.
Yeah. What if Harbaugh drags the corpse of the Chargers, like, into the AFC title game? It won't happen.
That would be the best coaching job of all time. Because that means he'd have to go through the Chiefs and or the Bills to do it. Or Ravens. Either one of them. Yeah. Well, because they reseed, depending on how it goes.
Duh.
You're going to have to beat the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. And any combo of, like, two of those three.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, that would be surprising.
I just started thinking about it. I was just like, then would he just become the greatest coach of all time?
Like, I think he needs a Super Bowl. If he gets a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If he gets a Super Bowl, you could go, it's really hard to argue. He did it in college. He did it in the pros. And he's been wildly successful
on every single team.
Actually, it doesn't mean squat till he wins an OSAA 6A state title. So you have to come to the high school ranks, Jim.
Taking over Mountainside? God.
All right. I'm taking my old Beaverton Beavers.
Hey, they have an opening.
Even my new neighbors, the Westview Wildcats.
Oh, hey, all right.
You know?
All right, with the playoffs set, though, which team has the most pressure this year? Because I think it can really come down to three teams to kind of get over the hump. And all of it's a little bit different. I think, like, the Kansas City Chiefs, with the way that this year's gone, you go 15-2 in the regular season, and that second loss, you didn't play anybody. You were 15-1 heading into the final week of the regular season. And everybody, hand up, myself included, say, this team has got their flaws, but all they do is they find ways to win. And I think you've won back-to-back Super Bowls. I don't think there's pressure to win a third. I think that
internally, sure, but
externally, it's like, dude,
everybody's giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Everyone is.
Yeah. You're on the gravy train. Honestly, on a gravy train with biscuit wheels, baby.
Honestly, they could lose their first playoff game, and I don't think people would call it disappointing. They would go,
It finally caught up. Yep.
They have a, it's not a built-in excuse, but they have a built-in excuse.
Yeah.
Because nobody's ever done this before.
But you can look at the two seed in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills.
I think they have more pressure than anyone, and it's not just the pressure of this season or the Josh Allen era, it is the entirety of the Buffalo Bills' existence.
Yeah. Poor Bills. I mean, if they make it to a Super Bowl and lose this year, it may break them.
That's what I mean. Like, it's an existential thing.
Yeah. But I think also, if we were to rewind and we have this conversation back in August or early September, would we say that pressure is there for Buffalo? Because remember, this is a retooled back end of their defense, right? Week one, they lose another linebacker. Mm-hmm. Milano goes out with the injury. Stephon Diggs and everything that happens there. And it's like, Josh Allen has no one to throw to, right? If we were to go back at the beginning of the year and we just assess where this team is and where they've come from, this was a retooling year for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to be where they're at, does that alleviate a little bit of that pressure?
I don't think so. Okay. I think particularly with Josh Allen's
an MVP year,
very likely going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they have to come in and face Kansas City at some point.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, they're going to have to exercise a demon.
Yeah. In Kansas City.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like,
I bet they changed the way they handle the last 40 seconds of a game.
Probably. And that's the thing is, like, they've just run up against it where the Bengals got over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't get it done, but they got over the hump, right?
Yeah.
The Bills still have yet to to exercise that demon.
Can I tickle you with the Philadelphia Eagles? Because right now you're sitting there and you're going, they are a two seed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a quarterback that was the toast of the NFL mm-hmm. in a Super Bowl loss. Mm-hmm. And now people have legitimate questions as to whether he can be the quarterback that will drag you to a championship. Your head coach also is the king of Philly and then the clown of Philly. On any given week, he gets ridiculed and people want him out of town. Is this a pressure year for Philly? Not to win a Super Bowl, but maybe to get to a Super Bowl, win the NFC, and get there. Because I think that Buffalo, that sliding scale may be a little bit different for Buffalo, right?
I don't think so, simply because the largest part of this is Philly has been there. Beyond that, Jalen Hurts may not play.
And I think that he'll be cleared. Concussion protocol. It would be over two. It'd be two and a half.
He's at 16 days right now. But like, that's the thing is, like, they were talking about this morning,
yeah.
and it didn't sound like he's made any progress.
Yeah. If you don't have Jalen Hurts, all the pressure.
You're not in
right.
on a Kenny Pickett show.
That's just like if Josh Allen gets hurt, Buffalo's freebie year.
Yeah,
but if they lose to the Packers this week,
which is if Jalen Hurts doesn't go, I think it's likely.
Right, but if you have Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, you lose to Green Bay at home, wild card weekend, as a two seed.
I think Philly in general is going to
then
lose their mind.
I think the pressure is this pairing of Sirianni and Hurts, where the year started with a expose about how dysfunctional their relationship was and the fact that Kellen Moore was brought in as a buffer to go between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. You have the whole A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts
thing.
With three
separate updates throughout the season.
And
can
that pairing go moving forward? I mean, that's some pretty big damn pressure for this weekend alone.
I think
for
it's
Philly
dysfunctional pressure, but like organizational pressure, I think it's more intrinsic with Philly. You know what I mean? It's both the city, the culture, the franchise. I don't think it's the pressure that we typically associate with like the building process, because Philadelphia's been there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Jason Kelsey has been, like, you know, that group got ascended the mountain, as it were.
What do you think about, like, just down the road in Baltimore, though? Like, this is statistically, Lamar Jackson is having a better year than his MVP year last year. You have Derrick Henry as your running back.
And
you
what has been the drawback of him?
You have had your defense, too, has taken a step back this year. Mm-hmm. But could this be a year where the pressure's mounting? Are you going to waste back-to-back years of the best football Lamar Jackson has played?
And the knock on Lamar has always been, what do you do in the playoffs?
Yep.
And that's the thing, is that he hasn't been able to get that done yet.
And at least this year, you sit there and you go, you can lean on your run game this year, finally.
You're damn right you can.
There's no excuse there of our running backs.
There's
not
no broke down Gus Bus in the backfield. You've got King Henry, ladies and gentlemen. That's the thing about this.
That's some pressure there.
If you want to talk about pressure, you can convince me of that one, because all of the excuses, your coordinator changed, your running game fixed, your weapons better. Now, your defense is problematic for some reason. I don't understand why. Like, you have personnel. It doesn't work for some reason.
They've had a lot of injuries weird times and different spots.
You know, they've got dudes at every level, and yet even when they were healthier, they were not good.
Yeah.
And I that is the one to me that doesn't make any sense. It's like the Bengals defense being bad because of injuries, I get it. But the Ravens one is just kind of like you look at the Lions, they hit no corners basically.
Yeah.
And yet were good against the Vikings. So it's like, is it a coordinator thing? Like, what's the deal there?
By the way, Tyrion Arnold, Nadelson is day-to-day after contusion. Getting carted off the field.
Yeah.
For the Lions defensive back. Yeah. That's good. Would it surprise you to learn that Baltimore is ninth in the NFL in points allowed this year?
Yes. I mean, they cleaned it up the last couple weeks because they were not there.
10th in total yards. Top 10 defense.
So there you go.
But it hasn't seemed like the dominant defense that it has in the past. But that's why pressure might be mounting. The last team that I think may have a little bit, and this may just be, do you have to rethink the way you go about your business? the Pittsburgh Steelers. I said this at the beginning of the year. I said this at the middle of the year when they were catching fire and Russell Wilson was playing really well. I don't believe in their quarterback. I don't believe in their offense to win at the highest level. If Pittsburgh gets bounced in the first round and you're sitting there looking at it going, boy, this is exactly what we thought Pittsburgh was going to be. They were 10-7 in the regular season, good enough to make the playoffs. Nobody believes that they have any chance to win a postseason. If they come out and they get run by the Ravens in Baltimore in wild card weekend, do you start rethinking the way you approach your building? Because they're never going to be a contender unless they have a quarterback.
Unless you invest in that side of the ball.
Well, I mean, just having a quarter, like,
you can't piece
meals together.
We know Russell
Wilson is not that guy.
They got lucky with Ben. But other than that, it's
I don't think it was lucky. I mean, they went through and they took it on the chin and they got Ben. They got Big Ben, right?
By taking it on the chin, they went 8-8.
Yeah. Yes, they did. But they got Ben Roethlisberger. And it was a deep quarterback class. This quarterback class is not deep at all. But do you reassess kind of how you go about it? And you say, how can we get over the hump? And in all honesty, it is you have got to improve the quarterback position dramatically.
Because the defense is nice.
And oh, dude, everywhere else is nice with them. I mean, it is. Like, that's the reality is that, like,
got a good old line. You got a good tight end. You got some weapons on the edge.
Great running back. Like, they do a really good job of drafting, developing. Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the National Football League, but they will be held back because of that position and really that side of the ball, too. You know, on that side of the ball, it is a real challenge for them.
They kind of made a good point today on, I hate to say it, on the herd, in that the Steelers' current situation was much like the Blazers when they had both Dame and CJ. And
be like,
hey, you guys can be real good and you can go and win 45, 50 games and you'll make the playoffs and never make any noise.
They are.
And is that good enough?
Yeah. I mean, for Pittsburgh, I think it's starting to wear. I think it's starting to wear. But the consistency of that franchise, unlike any other. Unlike any other. And I think they understand the slippery slope, right? To where, all right, so you take a downturn for 1 year. What if that quarterback isn't the guy? What if he isn't the guy that they're, what if you get Kenny Pickett again?
Oof.
You know, like, and that is the inherent challenge with trying to pick that path and go down that road.
And that's the thing is,
maybe they take Jackson Dart.
Oh, don't do that to Jackson.
Dude, ripping darts in Pittsburgh? You kidding me?
I know. It works pretty well.
It'd be awesome.
Works pretty well.
Yeah.
For being honest.
Yeah.
I can tell you what doesn't work very well. Being incredibly un-American.
Oh, you're right. That does not work.
But it's from the most un-American person on the face of the planet.
All right.
Kim Jong-un has banned the most American things. That is where we land on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the big
dogs.
Sports and update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at warrenallen.com.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Going into the break, I said the dictator, Kim Jong-un, is the most un-American human being on the planet.
That's
and
right.
He's done the most un-American thing. It is not unusual for something like this to happen. I don't think Americans, for the most part, are truly aware of how much of a hermit nation North Korea really is. They do not have internet to the outside world. They do not have outside media. They do not, like, in that country, it is isolated, entirely isolated. The only people who get access to the outside world are Kim and his acolytes. You know what's really funny is Steam is the gaming service that provides computer games. And it shows a map based on IP address of like where people are playing games. And then in Pyongyang, capital of North Korea, there's a little tiny light that lights up. Because somebody in North Korea, probably Kim Jong-un, is playing video games.
Really?
On an actual internet server. Yeah. It's very funny. It's like, it was one of those things like, I see you.
Interesting.
But with all of that said, they keep Western culture out. And it becomes so forbidden that it becomes criminal. And that is the case that has happened here, as they have now banned the most American of things, the hot dog.
I said that going to break, and I was just guessing. And I can't believe I am right.
Yeah.
Like, that is whoa, Nelly.
The hot dog has grown in popularity in South Korea.
I mean, is it
because
is it the worst thing in the world that they'd ban hot dogs, though?
I mean, well, to be fair, it's probably the more nutritious thing that they're eating there.
Yeah,
they have,
true.
You know, famine and hunger, and yeah, it's not great there.
Well, they're all made of lips and a-holes.
Yeah, it's the
hot
rest
dogs,
of the meat.
Not the people.
Do you think that maybe Kim Jong-un read The Jungle and was like, whoa!
He probably
no way.
He probably read it in 5 minutes in one sitting.
That's right. Well,
he does have he did get a perfect score on a golf course.
No, that was 18? His dad. That was his dad.
Right.
That was Kim Jong Il.
You're Come right. On. 18 holes in one.
Yeah.
He mastered golf.
Well,
he also doesn't
seems
poop.
Pretty good. That is a heck of a thing and very unhealthy.
Yeah, well, I mean, even explain the haircut.
I feel like he would die.
I mean, yeah.
I think science would tell me he would die. But
that face is pretty puffy.
That glorious
yeah,
leader.
Well, yeah. Holding a lot of
but
weight.
But yeah, no, the hot dog has grown in popularity in South Korea, probably because we have a million soldiers in South Korea.
I take it they don't have Costco's in North Korea?
Not in North Korea.
What are they going to do? You can't replace the hot dog meal.
I mean, they could. They could do like a kimchi.
They can get a hot dog
meal?
And a soda for $1.50?
Yeah. Come on.
Everybody wants that deal.
Because there are Costco's in South Korea, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I'm talking about.
There are Costco's all over South Korea.
Which is not
My
North
God,
Korea.
My God. There is a lot of Costco's in South Korea.
Yeah, you see the TikTok of the dude, the
Holy
Cuban.
Crap.
A Cuban defectee. He went to a Costco for the first time.
Just blown
away.
And he
was just like, what? And his whole thing, he's like, he's holding up these two racks of like ribs and was like, so I could work out with these things. He's like, there's so much meat. And it just kind of put it into perspective of like, yeah, it's rough out over in Cuba. Like going to the excess of Costco would be quite the mind rip.
Yeah, that Cuban, he just dove right into that Costco like Tony Montana into that pile of cocaine on the desk.
Very, 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 very.
Kind of did.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to need him.
He's blown
talking
away by
about
that.
How he could work out with all of his meat.
Yeah, I'll go back and find this.
Yep,
I need that. Also, I'm just shocked by how many Costco's there are in South Korea. I guess it shouldn't really surprise me because they are on the islands in Hawaii too.
Yeah, I mean it's Costco, man.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good Costco?
The people of South Korea need a Costco. But this is crazy. Like they are everywhere. And I would imagine like, and it's actually they're relatively close to the border, which is actually.
I don't think you're going to be sneaking across your 48-pack of toilet paper back to North Korea.
Nah, they use the rice paper. Come on now. But it's not just that they're, like, banning them. So anything that has ties to the Western world or anything that's deemed offensive or treasonous.
Ooh, 274 Costco's outside of the United States.
It's quite a bit.
109 in Canada, 41 in Mexico, 36 in Japan, 29 in UK, 19 in South Korea.
That's a big number. 19. Like when you think about how big South Korea really is, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Also, nothing is more fun than watching somebody from Europe go to Costco the first time.
Well,
because they don't
29 in the UK, they
well,
can
they,
go.
They don't understand buying in bulk like that.
Two
like
in France.
It like blows their mind because they go to the market every day.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, it's a very different thing. You go to the store, you buy your stuff for dinner that night, and you do it every day as opposed to bulk.
Yeah, there
you
go.
It's a very strange thing. But the deal here is that the crackdown is quite literally deemed treasonous.
To eat a hot dog.
Yeah, to cook, have anything that has to do with a hot dog. And I'm not joking when I say this. If you get arrested or you are found guilty, air quotes here, because it's very loosely. I mean, remember, this is a guy who killed his uncle with a surface-to-air machine gun.
I mean.
So a flak cannon, essentially, shredded him, and what was left, he fed to his dogs. This was his uncle.
I mean, like, a leader of a country.
Apparently
yep, that's
the fun uncle.
Leader of a country, that's excessive. Don't expect it from that. I mean, if that story that you just said, you're like South Alabama man, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, I could see that happening. I mean, it's a little out there for a leader of a
when
country.
When we go
though.
To the break, I'll show you the exact gun that he used.
I'm good.
It's a lot bigger than you think.
I'm good. All right, so if you are caught eating a hot dog.
So you can be put to death or be sent to a work camp. And when I say work camp, it's like the stuff you see in China with the Uyghurs. Like, it's bad. Yeah. All of this. So all I'm saying is, cherish your hot dogs, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I have a defense.
Mm-hmm.
I have a defense. Be like, this isn't a hot dog. And they'll be like, well, what is it? Be like, I don't know what's inside of here. Nobody knows what's inside of hot dogs. Well, so this could not be a hot dog. I don't know what it could
sausages.
Be.
They basically said sausages.
Yeah, it's a sausage.
Anything, see, well.
Yeah, they're going
anything,
with sausages.
Anything, any meat in a casing? Nobody knows what's in a hot dog.
No.
Not even Americans know what's in a hot dog.
Again, back to the great outdoors.
To highlight the increasing insanity of North Korea, people that get divorced in North Korea are facing 1 to 6 months in labor camps for their crimes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, majority of those people die.
It's considered an anti-socialist act.
To eat a hot dog?
To get divorced.
Oh, to get divorced. Yeah, all right.
And the government needs to sign off on it. On your divorce.
Well, divorce rates are down.
It's the one thing North Korea has going for it. But I bet you sham marriages are also way down.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? They're getting it right.
I don't know how many sham marriages are going on there. Like, I really want to stay here. Yeah. I need to get married.
There goes my green card in North Korea.
Hey, look, they have limited access. Everybody's trying to get there.
Yeah, it includes brats, guys. So just keep that in mind the next time you book your spring break vacation to North Korea.
I can't have my cheddar-filled Johnsonville brats.
Don't bring those.
I like the jalapeno cheese ones.
You want to keep out of your luggage your guns, knives, fireworks.
And brats.
And brats. Don't
put those in those dry ice.
You're trying to tell me I can't make it through TSA with my wieners?
Yeah, you know what to do with that.
Please talk to me about my wiener. God, what movie was that?
That was Accepted.
That's right. God, that was great.
I think
Jonah Hill, Justin Long.
I think one of these hot dog companies stateside needs to.
Oh, this is the next. This is a PSYOP.
It needs to go with your next marketing campaign.
Instead of dropping leaflets, drop hot dogs.
Be North Korean. Eat Johnsonville brats.
I did read a few days ago that they are looking for new drivers for the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, so maybe they should take that over to North Korea.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, definitely not a minefield waiting for them.
Mm-mm. Don't do that.
Yikes, dog. All right, that's our worst day on the web. So,
well, add that to the list of reasons why I never want to go to North Korea, to not eat a hot dog.
There you go.
Because I don't eat hot dogs outside of a baseball game. Which I'm assuming they don't have very many baseball games in North Korea, or Fourth of July.
Korean League, right? Or is that just
that's
all
South Korea?
Okay, yeah,
it's not North Korea. All they don't interact.
No.
And Fourth of July, which I'm assuming they don't celebrate there either.
No, probably not.
Why would they not celebrate our Independence Day? That's so weird.
Happens.
I don't see myself in a situation to eat a hot dog.
It's rough, man.
Yeah,
it's rough.
At a Costco, which they don't have one in North Korea either. I mean, those are the three times I'll eat a hot dog.
This is the way that we ultimately end the war in Korea, via the hot dog. All right, coming up next, Dusty and I are both unclear on how this exactly works. Maybe one of you listeners know exactly how this works. Tiger and Rory's Golf League is debuting.
Hell yeah.
And it looks cool, but I have no idea what's going on, how it works, and what is going on. So we'll dive into that next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
There's so much meat.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
As we were prepping for today's show, they were showing the Golf League, the Tiger and Rory Indoor Golf League?
Yeah, it's the Golf Simulator League that they're at the SoFi Center down in Florida. for this?
Fort Myers, I believe, yeah.
Fort Myers is where they do it?
Where they all live.
Yeah. It's the new golf league where they're going to go team golf, three-man teams, and I'm intrigued by this. This was the answer for extra revenue. Remember when LIV started up and the PGA was like, oh my gosh, how are we going to hold this thing together? And Tiger and Rory were like, we got this. We got a league. It actually looks awesome.
It's the most insane simulator you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, have you seen the games that where like you can go to fan viewing experiences now? Like these bars have like the 360 screen all around you, so it feels like you're in the game, like sitting in the front row. Those look awesome. They also look like if you have one too many beers, you may just throw up immediately.
We did that at a movie recently at Bridgeport. It wasn't a 360, but it was like 270.
Yeah, it's like all, it's like almost completely immersive. Like,
is it the shaking chairs?
No, it's a game. No, this is like you're at a bar watching a game, but the screen goes all around you. But it's almost like that with how big the room is that they're doing this in. It's like it's almost as if like you're in a sound stage at a big movie is being filmed there. And this screen goes up, it looks like, I don't know, like 50 feet, and it is massive. Mm-hmm. So like when you hit a ball at this screen, like it looks like a true ball flight goes down, and they brought in they're not hitting off a turf. They're hitting off of these grass pallets that they brought in. And so it's like you're hitting off a real golf course. And then after like you hit your shot, your drive, then you're shot off of the grass mat. And then you get to the green, and the greens undulate like a whatever green on whatever course you're playing at. It was crazy to see how this thing is set up.
Well, and I'm not sure that they have too many setups with holes from actual courses. There are ones that have been created specifically like for this event and for this league.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're like I'm on their website right now, and they're their own separate thing. Like one of them like looks like it's the top of Machu Picchu.
Yeah. Pretty
like,
sweet.
It's like they call it Temple. It's a par 4 502. It says Temple is a hole design inspired by ancient civilizations and based on simplicity to create a unique challenge with its hourglass shape. There's also another one here. It's a par 5 720 yard hole.
Yes.
That's big.
It's a par 5 with multiple tee boxes. Quick draw might be the ultimate risk reward hole in TGL presented by SoFi. And there's like you can see some inspiration for a lot of these holes. Like this the one called Blue Bonnet says, depending on the tee box of this Nicklaus design, Blue Bonnet either plays as a drivable par 4 or a challenging long par 4.
Huh. Interesting. Is it not an actual golf course? Because isn't there a Blue Bonnet golf course?
I think there's an inspiration off of it.
Okay.
Like this one I hear is called On the Rocks. It's a downhill par 3 with an island green that sits off the edge of a cliff in the North Sea of Scotland.
Sweet.
Like it's like the the hole at the Players.
Yeah, the floating green.
The floating green, but in the ocean.
It says there are three different golf course design companies created 30 original holes that will be played on a competition area, 97 yards by 50, roughly the size of a football field.
Right.
So they are original, like, fictitious holes.
One of them has lava.
Sweet. Now, that would be real.
Set on an active volcano, Flex is named for its resemblance to someone flexing their muscles.
Play it as it lies, Tiger.
Coward.
Oh, and also the simulator screen, 64 feet by 35 by 53 feet, which is 24 times larger than a standard golf simulator.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is massive.
It's huge, and they're going to have fans there. Hopefully, the environment is raucous. And they got six teams, and they have like they all have their logos, and they're attached to a city or whatever. But like Justin Thomas is and Patrick Cantlay, Billy Horschel, Lucas Glover on the Atlanta team. Boston is Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, Keegan Bradley, and Adam Scott. Jupiter Lynx Golf Club is Tiger, Max Homa, Tom Kim, and Kevin Kisner. The Los Angeles Golf Club is Colin Morikawa, Thigala, Justin Rose, and Tommy Fleetwood. New York Golf Club is Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, Cameron Young. And then the Bay Golf Club is Ludwig Auberg, Wyndham Clark, Minwoo Lee, and Shane Lowry. And LA and New York, or the Bay Area and New York play each other tonight. Why would you start this league without Tiger and Rory?
That was my first thought. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, like nothing's going on tonight.
Yeah, and that's why they're starting this thing. Why not start with those two guys kind of playing each other or their teams? But
maybe work out the kinks first with them not there.
I guess.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Well they've already pushed this thing back a year, though, too. It was supposed to start at this time last year, but the facility got damaged by storms.
Yeah. At least
the roof collapsed.
Shane Lowry and
You get some Wyndham
Ricky
Clark
Fowler.
In there.
Ricky Fowler. There Those are two personalities, at least, right? Yeah, Wyndham Clark, former Duck, is playing tonight. But is this going to help golf? Like,
I think I agree with Danny. It doesn't hurt it.
Right. But if you can make it spectator-friendly, and it's pretty awesome, like, you're like, well, how do you get the ball on the green? There's a beam. Like, beam me up, Scotty, and it comes down and it shows you where your ball landed on the green on the simulator.
And that's where you go place it.
And you have to go up and you got to play. If you hit it in a bunker, you have to go up and you have to place it in the bunker where this little beam of light comes down, looking like the aliens are going to come up and take you up to the mothership and probe you.
Yeah.
But then all the greens I apparently are pretty true. I think the biggest thing is they need to engage the crowd, and the crowd needs to be amped up for this thing. If that happens, you can make golf exciting to watch. Then people are going to get into it. If you treat it like, you guys watched the darts, like the European darts?
Oh, yeah.
TV?
Every now and then, yeah. It is on electric.
Yeah. Usually when the Ocho pops up in the summer,
Give me Max Homa, ripping a dart, drinking a beer, and playing on this simulator. Like, show me that they are real people. Like, they don't have to be getting hammered or whatever.
I mean, adding John Daly to this would be good.
Show me that they're real people, because you'd never, like, that's the biggest problem with golf is that we never get to see any of their personalities, right? Or their legs, because they wear pants, and it's like 100 degrees and 98% humidity. It's ridiculous.
Well, one of the things they talked about in anticipation of this event is they are actively hoping for trash talk and ass talking.
Good.
Throughout the entire thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Sign me up.
So yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And if we're gonna actively push for that, hopefully they don't, have that dump button too ready, like they let Pat McAfee curse in the mornings. Let these golfers curse in the evenings and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
I want to hear Tiger drop an F-bomb.
If there's one place, well, you can't say that one, but you can say the
S's. How about that?
If there's one place where swear words to happen, it's a golf course.
Yeah, also, you can say the F1 on cable.
Really?
Yeah.
They always bleep it out, even on the ESPN.
Yeah, that's a network decision, as opposed to, because the only reason I know this is because a former co-host did it on cable.
Oh.
I think because, yes, if you're paying for cable, you are automatically opting into paying for a service and be like, hey, you know what? I might experience some things that might be a touch blue.
It's not over the air.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because when it happened to us, I about bleeped my pants. I was like, oh, God, we're getting fired. So coming up next, speaking of getting fired, what a transition. We got to pivot back to the NFL because there is so much more dysfunction that we haven't even come remotely close to touching. Just kind of diving into where the NFL is right now in not just coaching searches, but the dysfunction of general manager ownership relations around the NFL and how it kind of ties to the success or lack thereof success in the NFL as a whole. Here now, number 3 on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.